climb in and hold on tight, KID crew. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3, online at KIDNewsRadio.com.
Hey, KID crew, welcome back to the second hour of the Joel and Thomas Show. On this Thought Leader Thursday, I've got a couple of thought leaders in studio, and I know you're going to be really interested in this topic. We're going to be recapping last night's Stand Up for Idaho. It was absolutely fascinating. So we'll be talking Agenda 21 and Project 2030, if I can get that out right. And joining me in studio is Doug Toomer with Stand Up for Idaho and Karen Schumacher. She did a fantastic presentation last night covering a very complex issue. And I'll tell you one thing that I noticed as I looked around. It was like the light was getting switched on for a lot of people, and a lot of things were making sense. So, Doug and Karen, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you.
And Doug, what was one of the takeaways for you last night?
Well, one of the biggest takeaways, I guess, is that a lot of people, and me included, have heard about Agenda 21, 2030, all this. I don't know what it really meant. And, we're all busy and things. But the takeaway that I got from it was that Karen did a superb job of breaking it down and explaining the complexities of it and what it really does mean. And my takeaway really was is that it helped me a lot, but a lot of the people in the room sort of, like we said, had that little light bulb started to, come on a little bit, going, okay. And a realization that it is happening here in Idaho, in our legislature, all of this. So Agenda 21 is here in Idaho.
One of the things that really stood out to me, and I think you did a great job, Karen, in pointing this out, and I think this is true. I believe there are a lot of folks who believe, well, we're good now because President-elect Trump is coming into office. And yes, while that's something to celebrate on a lot of levels, you helped us understand that he can't do this by himself. So let's talk a little bit about what you mean by that and what is standing out in your mind.
What stands out in my mind is how President Clinton in 1993 embedded Agenda 21 under the terms of sustainable development into the government. He brought together a council of federal agencies, the United Nations, the World Business Council for Sustainable Development. The World Economic Forum member was there, tribes and NGOs, and had them talk about ways in which to implement Agenda 21 into federal policy and programs. So as long as that's embedded there and the NGOs are still given a very large seat at the table, that's still going to be present, and that needs to be taken out. Trump needs help in getting sustainable development removed out of the federal government at that level.
And I think a lot of people didn't recognize that it goes back to Clinton.
Yes. George H.W. Bush was the first one to sign it in Rio, and Nancy Pelosi tried to get a resolution to adopt it and failed. And then President Clinton came in and said, I'll just do an executive order. And that's what he did.
I think it's so impressive that you have taken the time because it's comprehensive. And you guys, Karen had really good slides that were full of a lot of information. And let me just say this, if you missed it, there's so much to it. You can go back on Rumble. Stand Up for Idaho is there on Rumble. So just keep that in mind. You can go back and you'll be able to watch Karen's entire presentation, hear the questions that were asked, and I think you'll find it fascinating. Karen, it is just overwhelming. So let me ask you this. As we look at the complexity of this, what is one of the major things that you want people to know that you think is frightening?
I think it's important for people to understand that Agenda 21 is Agenda 2030 in a condensed format. Agenda 21 has specific goals that have been integrated into Agenda 2030. So we're still talking the same objectives of what Agenda 21 is about. And you can look at the way in which the government has passed legislation, some of the executive orders and other actions that they've taken. And if you understand what those goals and objectives are of those two documents, you can see how it's being implemented. Over the course of the years since it was the council met, there has been a massive redistribution of wealth to what's called developing countries. And certainly we've got enough debt, but this money is money that should be kept in the United States for our country and not shipped out. But the agenda objectives are that we help financially other countries implement sustainable development. And so that's what we've been doing. And it's been at a great cost to all of us. And I think that's something that perhaps the Doge people should recognize and show them that this is an area where money can be saved. If they can't because of the sustainable development piece, then that needs to be removed.
Exactly. I mean, I think people, from my perspective, had heard some of this, but as they're last night recognizing it's there, the goals are there, yes. And you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together, it's really, really interesting. One of the things that I thought was kind of fascinating was when you talked about the fact that instead of having people visit these beautiful national parks that are treasures, they want it to be like a virtual experience.
Yes. And there is the National Park Foundation, which was originally set up to preserve and protect and enhance the national parks. But that money from corporations, millions of dollars is coming in from corporations, and they want to go to a more of a state-of-the-art type of tourist event, or I should say experience, where they bring in Wi-Fi, and down the line they'll have the type of, instead of your camper, there'll be designer areas for you to camp out. They're going to be deciding how that is done. And that's probably a number of years down the line. But what's ironic is the government just put in a bunch of money to the national parks for upgrades and maintenance and, you know, improvements. And all these millions of dollars is sitting there in this foundation that should be used for that and not water conservation. Eli Lilly put in $100 million for water infrastructure and water conservation and a bunch of other modernization type things that, you know, I'm not sure most people would want.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that really hit me, that they're trying to change the whole experience for people and trying to make it, oh, this is an experience. We'll have great Wi-Fi. And I don't know about you two, but I don't think there's anything that can compare to actually being there and seeing it for yourself. We have a lot more to get to. This is pretty comprehensive. I want to encourage you, KID crew, to check out Rumble, Stand Up for Idaho, Karen Schumacher, and you're going to get a lot of detail. But we'll get down to the business of covering more after this quick break.
Climb in and hold on tight, KID crew, because we are driving the conversation. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3.
All right, KID crew, if you were at Stand Up for Idaho last night, then you know. If you missed it, you can get the whole recap on Rumble. Just check out Stand Up for Idaho. I have Doug Toomer of Stand Up for Idaho and Karen Schumacher. We're continuing our conversation. Karen has researched Agenda 21, We're also talking 2030, which a lot of people I don't think realize they're essentially the same thing. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that part of this is this idea of redefining what it means to visit a national park. It's the virtual experience. And Doug, you said you have an idea as to why they might be trying to do that.
Oh, well, I just look at it like this is, if I'm a very wealthy person, I would like to preserve those parks for me and keep the rest of the population out of it and try to focus them in this little area over here and make them happy that way while I can enjoy the rest of it myself.
It's, again, that division, dividing by class and any type of area that they can think of to create that division. You know, Karen, one of the major questions as we think about what's been going on is you hear people saying, who's running the ship? Glenn Beck talks a lot about the Great Reset. We're hearing bits and pieces of things, but there's a lot of confusion because it's very comprehensive. And I think one thing that could really help people is if they understand who's running the ship. And in your research, you have come to be able to answer that. So, Karen, the moment of truth, who is running that ship?
Well, in my perspective, when President Clinton invited all those organizations to the table, they essentially became the voice of the people. But the UN, after that, the federal government partnered with the UN in multiple agencies and multiple UN organizations. So the federal government is partners with the FAO, WHO, UNEP, UNESCO, and you can look and see their partnerships and what it is they work on. So what I found is if the federal government came out with a policy or a program or law, all I did was look at the respective UN agency, and there it is. They were like the EPA partners with the UNEP and has for years, and so all the policies that they put out, the UNEP, the EPA is implementing. So there's this joining between the two outfits that's creating the policy, which makes work for the federal government a lot easier because the UN is coming up with all these things. The International Union for Conservation of Nature, the 30-30 program by Biden, that's out of the IUCN. And the Department of Interior, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, they are all members of IUCN. So that's no surprise to me who's running things. And I think what Glenn Beck talks about is, and this is more in the Great Reset, is the technocrats, and they're the ones making the decisions. They're also tightly involved with UN-type activities and beliefs and sustainable development. So that to me is, I know who's making the decisions in the back rooms, it's the technocrats.
And when you start looking at the goals and the objectives, you really start to get a much clearer picture as to the agendas at play.
Yeah, from Agenda 21. Yeah, conserving water, protecting the environment, revamping all of your waste sewer management to reuse the water. I mean, I think I mentioned last night that they predicted to have more efficient refrigerators and light bulbs and stuff, and now we've got that. I mean, if you look at Agenda 21 now, you can see all that's been implemented. There was some genetics pieces in there in 1992, and it's like, well, what are they talking about? But now we see the COVID vaccine, mm-hmm. which is genetic therapy. We see more genetic vaccines that they're developing. We see genetic studies being done on animals and plants. Okay, that's what they meant. That's what they were talking about. And what they wanted, the objectives, was to use gene engineering we've got now. That's what they're doing.
That's one of the moments last night where I really saw kind of that ta-da, people were saying, what? And you started getting some questions, people wanting to know a little bit more specifically about that vaccine piece.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little more about that and how that is being driven.
If you look up some vaccines, COVID vaccine studies on NCBI, and just put COVID vaccine genetic or gene therapy, NCBI, if you search that, the studies that they did will come up, and it will specifically list the COVID vaccine as gene therapy. And then if you know how to read those studies, some are easier than others, you'll see and understand how they did genetic modification to create that vaccine.
And that's kind of terrifying. You don't exactly know what's going into your body.
But they're also making newer types of vaccines, the self-amplifying, which is also very scary to me because it amplifies the mechanism that creates the virus in the body. And that in COVID's particular, it was very, that spike protein is very damaging. And now they're creating a vaccine that will just amplify it and make more of it in your body.
Gosh, that is scary. You know, and one of the things that I've been hearing from people a lot lately is, you know what, we've got to recognize if we give our bodies what it needs, it has the ability to heal itself.
Well, and there are also, if you search vaccines in plants or plant vaccines, NCBI, you'll find some studies that they're doing on that as well.
It's just mind-blowing. I can only imagine, as you were doing this research, it must have been such a journey. Were you shocked and surprised as you went down this path, or did you go into this believing that you were going to find all of this?
Well, when the COVID vaccine came out, I thought, how did they come up with something so rapid?
It was quick.
That doesn't make sense. There's something wrong here. So I decided to, okay, well, I'll just research it. And it gives you pause to think about what's going on without your knowledge and without your involvement or consent or, I don't know, whatever, however you want to describe it. And I think that is very concerning, that all this technology is being developed and we are lacking any participation in it at all. But then I go back to Agenda 21 and it's there. They talk about it right there.
So true. There's so much more. If you both have time, I would love to open up our phone lines in case people are listening and they have a question or two. Would you be open to staying another segment? Are you good? Do you have time?
Yeah, I'm okay. Sure.
Okay. So, KID crew, we will continue this conversation about Agenda 21 and 2030, and we'll keep Karen and Doug in studio.
Climb in and hold on tight, KID crew. It's time for the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota on KID News Radio 92.1 and 106.3, online at KIDNewsRadio.com.
All right, KID crew, I have kept Doug Toomer from Stand Up for Idaho and Karen Schumacher in studio. We have been talking about Agenda 21, 2030, a lot of buzz about that, as you know, the Great Reset, all of that. People really starting to zero in on the fact that there's some big change on the horizon. And, you know, we're all about shattering stereotypes here on the Joel and Thomas Show. And one of those stereotypes is that just because President-elect Trump is going to occupy the White House again does not mean that these things are not on the horizon. He needs all of our support. So thank you both so much for sticking around and being here. Doug, what is it that is most frightening to you about all of this?
Well, I think it's the realization that people are out there and entities are out there that are working very, very hard to ultimately control every aspect of my life and my kids' and my grandkids' life. The freedoms that we perceive that we have or had and all that will be going away. And, you know, it's just one of those, you know, boiling a frog in a pan of water. You know, you're doing it at it slowly and you're not realizing what is happening until it's almost too late. And so that's the frightening thing to me is that the realization that, again, that we're being an active effort to control every aspect of our lives is underway. And there are a lot of people out there that just don't want to admit that that's what's happening.
Right. We see that trend of burying the head deeply in the sand.
Yes.
And part of the thing about all of this, I believe, is there are folks who are very skilled at sprinkling a little sunshine and making this look as if it is a really positive thing. And so it's important to shine a big, bold spotlight on it. And Karen, you certainly have been doing that. Let me remind you all that you can check out last night's presentation with Karen Schumacher at Rumble. So just Stand Up for Idaho. They're on Rumble. And Karen's going to be doing part two on December 18th, Snake River Event Center, 6:30 sharp. And I know you are going to be intrigued by what else she has to share. Let me go ahead and open up the phone lines because I imagine that you have some questions. Now's a great time to ask those questions. And there are no stupid questions. 208-522-5900. That's 208-522-5900. Karen, as you're listening to Doug and that fear of that absolute control, I have to say that you did a great job of really laying that out because as I was there last night, that's exactly what kind of went through my mind. Oh, wow. This is about power and control. One of the things that you brought up last night, and I would love to give you an opportunity to just add a little more to that, is digital ID. Talk us through that.
Digital ID is the key for capturing our whole life. You will have to have digital ID to do anything, whether you're banking, you're shopping, your healthcare. There are some interesting short videos on YouTube that show how digital ID will control your life. And there's also interesting videos in China. A girl goes around and shows what she does there and how convenient it is to do everything by her phone, which requires a digital ID. If somebody wants to know what it would be like, it's a social credit score system of China, and that's a good example of what it means. Your whole life will be controlled. And the item that we all have that's going to be key to it all is your smartphone, and you won't be able to access anything without your smartphone to verify who you are with your digital ID.
You know, and as you're talking, the thing about this, people are so fascinated by technology, having the latest and greatest. And I think that's by design in all of this because people are not really looking out for what you're talking about, Doug. They're not thinking about, oh, this is going to eliminate some of my freedom. They're like, this is really cool. It's very convenient. It's making things a little more complicated, I think, than they need to be. But some people, it's just that I have the latest and greatest piece of technology, so that's really cool, but they're not seeing the unintended consequences that might come. 208-522-5900. What do you think, KID crew? Are you concerned about your whole life being controlled? Does that worry you? Or do you think that this is just much to do about nothing? So, Karen, what do you believe would be maybe the first big major downfall that we would experience with a digital ID being implemented?
Well, the purpose of a digital ID is to start tracking, so any information on you. So it gives them a roadmap to doing central bank digital currency, which means there would be no longer any cash. And that would then lead to their ability to see what you're buying, how much money you're making, what you're doing with your money. You wouldn't be able to do anything, purchases or whatever, without somebody knowing. And on the 18th, I've got a few videos where they actually talk about, you know, we can see if somebody's buying alcohol, we can see if somebody's doing this or the other. And a good example of that was the trucker strike up in Canada a few years ago, where they literally shut off people's money. And that's the kind of power that a digital ID with CBDCs will give the government and entities, and we don't want to go there.
Yeah, imagine that. You can't access your own money. They've decided you've spent too much in one day, or they don't like where you're spending your money. It's terrifying. I'm still of the mindset that cash is king. I'm not ready to give up my cash. Yeah. Because you're exactly right. I mean, we've all probably at some point in time experienced a situation where, oh, we go to an ATM, it's down, we can't access our money, all of these types of things. But to know that they could just turn that buying power off.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that, there are already places here, even in Idaho Falls, that you cannot use cash. It's right. Like the Mountain America Center.
Exactly.
No cash.
I found that out.
Yeah.
And the hard way.
That's right, the hard way. So that's a prime example. And there will be other places that do that. So, and like you were saying, what happens when your app isn't working on your phone? Do you get panicked a little bit every once in a while?
Right.
I think a perfect example is what happened in Helene, North Carolina, where they lost all access to internet and all access to anything. And they needed cash.
To be able to, right.
Right.
I think this has unintended consequences all over it.
I would say intended consequences.
Intended. There you go.
It is intended to happen.
Yeah, you're right. There's an agenda for sure. They don't call it Agenda 21 for nothing. Check out Rumble. You can hear all of Karen's presentation, and her interview will be up at KID.